Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. And March's biggest tournament is finally here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $4 on an underdog, win $256 if they win. It's that simple. Pick one of many select college basketball underdogs for your shot at winning $256. All it takes is a $4 bet. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code KSN when you sign up to turn $4 into $256 if the underdog of your choosing pulls off the upset. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle today. Greg, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Jim. March Madness is almost here. Thankfully, it looks like we're going to have a tournament this year since we didn't get to have one last year. So that's exciting, and happy to check out DraftKings and get in on all the action. I know you will be as well.
Definitely. You got your pool filled out yet?
Not yet, no. I'm waiting as long as possible just in case any changes have to be made due to COVID testing. So that's the fun part of doing that this year.
All right, give me a quick preview. Who's your winner?
You know, I have a really difficult time going against Gonzaga. I just have, as much as I've watched them this year, they are so impressive. They just do everything very well. But there's a part of me that wants to go off the beaten path a little bit, maybe Illinois, maybe somebody else. Because, again, you know, if everyone ends up on Gonzaga, it's going to make it difficult to win. So we'll see. I don't know how they lose without running into... I think the only way they lose, Jim, is COVID, frankly. So we'll see. But that's where I'm leaning right now.
I was leaning Gonzaga also. It's funny. My thought process was the same. Will too many people be on Gonzaga? Should I look somewhere else? Should I look at a fellow Big Ten team? And no, I just can't do that. I'm sorry. I can't take Illinois or Michigan or Ohio State. I just don't have that in me, Greg. All right.
Let's move on
to Penn State football. And we'll begin with James Franklin meeting with the media this week. Spring practice has begun. On Monday was the first day. James Franklin met with the media, had a lot of things to say. A lot of the things you got to translate, you got to interpret, but there was still a pretty lot there, Greg. Let's start with the quarterback position, and I was very curious to see how he would answer about a transfer quarterback, and based on what he said, it sounded like a transfer quarterback's a real possibility.
Well, I think it almost has to be, right? So this is the sticky spot that Penn State is in. They need a transfer quarterback for no other reason than they only have three scholarship guys on the roster. And so that's a really tough place to be in, especially when two of them have absolutely no game experience. And one of them, Christian, how did Dwight Gold say it? Vaor, I believe he said was the correct way to pronounce
it. But didn't James Franklin go with Vaiu yesterday?
He did, yeah. So we'll never get an answer on that, Jim. But maybe we'll just have to start calling him just Christian, and that will solve all of our problems. But in all seriousness, you know, he's a guy who didn't have a senior season because of the pandemic. So you have a quarterback on your roster who hasn't played since 2019, and the quarterback on your roster who hasn't taken a significant game rep at the college level, and then you have Sean Clifford. So, yeah, it almost feels like they have to add a quarterback in the portal. But what are you going to find out there that, you know, where are you going to find someone that wants to come in knowing the situation of you have two guys committed in 2022, you have obviously two young guys in Roberson and Christian, and you have Sean Clifford, who is the expected starter. You know, I think it's going to be tough to convince someone who can improve that room that they should come to Penn State after spring practice. So that's going to be kind of the push and pull in the situation Penn State finds itself in. So time will tell how all of that works out. But, you know, I do think that ultimately Penn State will probably add one. I don't like, again, it's going to be difficult to do, and they may not get their first or second choice, Jim. But three scholarship quarterbacks is just not enough to enter a season with, and therefore they're going to have to find somebody somewhere who could come in and be you know, obviously someone who competes in this room and makes it better, but also is, you know, the break glass in case of emergency guy, should there be a lot of injuries or something else going on. And, you know, again, not that we want COVID to be a part of this equation, but remember the panic last year, Jim, when, you know, what are we going to do if a whole position group gets COVID? And who knows if that's still going to be a problem by the fall. Fingers crossed, of course, that it's not. But if it is, you're really walking on thin ice if you only have three quarterbacks. And if one of those guys would come down with it, there's probably a decent chance at least one other one's going to run into contact tracing issues. So, you know, I think it's imperative that they add somebody here during the time between now and August camp.
My thought on it, Greg, was where if Will Levis was still there and there was talk of a transfer quarterback, it would be someone who had to compete to be a starter this year. Now with Will Levis gone, I'm thinking in terms of someone. Taquan Roberson is still a redshirt freshman because of the free year. Vayu, obviously a true freshman. Sean Clifford will be here either 1 or 2 years. He actually still has another year. How about getting someone who would fill that gap? Instead of someone with 4 years of eligibility or 1 or 2 years eligibility, how about someone with maybe 2 or 3 years who may not be ready to be more than the backup this year, but could compete with Roberson in 22 as the starter and see a path that way. So that's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes as much sense as anything, Jim. And obviously, you know, the Penn State message is going to be, look, we have this brand new offensive coordinator who really can put up points on offense and really is going to train you up to potentially play at the next level, and you have a chance to come in and compete for that job. So, you know, I do think that for Penn State moving forward, that they do have a good pitch to try and land the transfer portal guy. But, you know, the question again is just going to be, where do they find a guy that, A, they like enough that they think he can compete for a job? B, does he want to come to Penn State? And C, how does he fit into that room? Because it's a delicate balance. If you bring in a guy who's going to compete for that job either this year or next year, and guess what, someone's going to lose that job, of course, and then where does that person go? So it's a never ending cycle, and it's a revolving door. And Jim, I think we talked about it last week, but this is one of the reasons why something tells me that two quarterback classes might become more common across the country and even at Penn State in the future here. Because, you know, if you think you are off, you know, I don't know how any quarterback can now say, I want to be the only quarterback in a class, because what difference does it make with the portal now? I mean, you might be a one quarterback guy in your high school signing class, but 2-3 years down the road, you could have someone transfer in and all of a sudden you're a two quarterback class and there's nothing you can do about it. So I think you have to shore up your numbers through recruiting and then hope that you don't have a bunch of transfers, but realize that because of the nature of the position, you're going to always lose guys more often than not.
That is the process. You have to, as the team, think in terms of not everyone's going to be here. It's survival of the fittest. As I have often pointed out, if you look at Ohio State's quarterback room, they have three guys with freshman eligibility coming at spring practice this year. And guess what? Next year, they're bringing in the number one quarterback in the country. So that's just the nature of the beast, survival of the fittest. Let's move on to a couple other notes, Greg. Noah Cain, it sounds like he won't be working out with the team at the beginning of spring practice, but the hope is by the second half of spring practice, he will be there working out. How much more do we know about Noah Cain?
I would say this. I would be kind of surprised if he's – I mean, I guess it would depend on how you define working out at this point. I mean, I don't think he's going to be doing much because, again, it wasn't all that long ago that he hurt himself in a way that required some kind of surgery and kept him out for the entirety of the season. So I really have a tough time believing he's going to be back and ready to take hits and things like that. It feels like summer camp is when that's going to be the case. But I'm sure they'll get – whatever work out of them that they can. James Franklin talked about the fact that he was back working out with not working out, but rehabbing with the training staff and everything else. So he's working his way back, Jim. But I just have a tough time thinking that, you know, maybe in the second half of summer he can do some walkthrough, or I'm sorry, of spring, he'll be able to do some walkthrough type stuff and things like that. But it's just hard for me to believe that his recovery is so sped up that he's going to be able to just simply be back in there 100% full go. I think that's more of something we'll see later this year.
A question came up that's probably more important to the fans than to anyone else is about the prospect of a blue-white game.
Right.
And we didn't get
an exact answer. What was your take on it, Jim? Yeah.
I'm sorry?
So what was your take on it? Because I certainly have one.
Well, here's my take. If James Franklin has an opportunity to have no blue-white game, he will take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah, I think that was clear as day, right? You know, sometimes James Franklin will beat around the bush a little bit, and you have to kind of read into what he's saying, and it could go this way or it could go that way. And there was no really other way to read into this one, Jim. That was clear that he would be perfectly fine if there was no spring game this year and if Penn State could have a 15 spring practice with closed doors. Now, look, I do think that if they go that direction, Jim, they still will do something special for the fans via social media or some other platform where you'll get a peek behind the curtain, but only the peek that they want you to have, right? So, like he said, the spring game is very vanilla because it's on TV, and you kind of, I don't want to say they lose that practice, but they kind of do in a way. I mean, I don't know if they get a whole heck of a lot out of that blue-white game. So, to me, I have a pretty good suspicion that if James Franklin has his way, they're going to find some alternative way to do a spring game this year and keep that 15th practice more normal compared to what it would be if it's open and like the spring game that we traditionally know it as. So that would be my guess. We'll see. I'm sure there's a lot of factors at play, though, obviously from the Penn State side of things, from the Big Ten side of things. So time will tell. But, yeah, I think it was very, very clear, Jim, that they will forego the idea of a spring game if they can.
I believe it was Sandy Barber earlier in a press conference talked about pointing towards the fall and bringing fans in then, and that was their focus. And even with that quote, I translated that to, sounds like James Franklin already is having his say here that they're not going to do a blue-white game. So that seems to be the company policy right now. Talk about getting people in the fall.
Right. Yes, that's exactly it. So, I mean, it seems like they're full steam ahead to making sure everything can work in the fall, and that's on the field and in the stands, and seems to be that they think, or at least James Franklin thinks, that by not having an open blue-white game, they'll be better off in both areas in 2021.
We're on the same page with that, Greg. All right, that is it for quarter number one. Quarter number two, we're going to continue with James Franklin's press conference. Stay tuned.
March's biggest tournament is finally here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of action. Bet $4 on an underdog. Win $256 if they win. It's that simple. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.